do not major in biomedical sciences. For the love of God, do not major in that major. I want that major to die. I have always been told that I'm a lot and too much. I am loud. I laugh too loud. I love too hard. I give too much. The world's not going to end, and you will still find a path forward. If there's something that you really, really, really want and it's meant for you, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. You just don't know how you're going to get it. You don't know when you're going to get it. You don't know how it's going to happen. But trusting that as long as you're putting your best foot forward every single day, everything is going to work out the way it's meant to work out. I can't believe we're actually here. Also can't believe that I'm recording this and forgot my real mic. It took a lot more work and a lot less work at the same time than I thought it would. Part of it is because I really wanted to make this as perfect as possible, and perfect is relative because this is not the most perfect by any means podcast, but I really wanted to get the message that I was going for across. I wanted the feeling that I wanted to get across, and I wanted the conversations to feel as authentic as possible. I guess let's start from the beginning. So the concept for this came up, gosh, like 3 years ago now, maybe longer, because time flies so fast that probably can't tell. But I remember driving home one day, and I had gone to a funeral, a patient's funeral, and I had not been to church services before. I'm Muslim. I've been inside churches, but not a church service or like a memorial or something like that before. And I had mentioned to a friend, I said, oh, I didn't realize that music was such a big part of church services, because in Islam, that's not really. And we started going back and forth, and he was asking what we did. And so I mentioned that we read the Quran. There is a melody to it, but there's no singing involved. There's no limbs and things like that. He said, well, what does it sound like? And I had sent him a link. He's a musician. I don't know if these were the same conversation or two separate conversations, but this was the origin story of this. He was looking for somebody to sing with him. And he said, I think you have a cool voice, and I think you probably can sing very well. I said, absolutely not. Like, I can shut that down right now. I will not be singing, one, for multiple different reasons, but I also will absolutely not be singing because my voice is absolutely terrible. My mom has a great voice. She passed that on to none of us, although my little sister has said in the past few weeks that she feels that she has a talent and that we can't let it go to waste. In her defense, if any of us were to be talented, it would be her. She's not. I think that was like the second time he told me that I have like a cool voice to listen to. I don't know what that means. I've always been told that I sound like a man, and that I have too rough of a voice. I don't know. Very strange conversation that we're having here, guys. But anyway, so that was one instance. The other time, a friend and I, we'd gone for a walk and we're having ice cream, which we did very often. And all of our conversations always go from silly to philosophical very quickly. And we were also exchanging podcast recommendations of what we were listening to. I listen to Fluff, usually. I love a good Reddit podcast, you know, am I the asshole type story readings. But she listens to like nuclear physics and stuff like that. So we were saying how we both listen to completely different things. And also at the same time, we were talking about how we were both in either late 20s, early 30s, not traditional girls, if you will, according to what both of our cultures would have said. You're supposed to get married and have a family and stuff like that. And so we're both very career driven, but also both have very non-linear career paths, and how every twist had brought us to another location and another special spot. And so she was saying, I would listen to that. I would listen to a podcast if we could talk to people who did this kind of stuff. And so the idea stuck. And I harassed my siblings, one of my friends, with podcast titles. So we went back and forth for a long time. It was both my friend who told me I had a good voice, and my sister both came up with Tay Talks individually. And when I heard it twice, I said, okay, that's where we're landing. I actually should go back to the text and see what other concepts there were. I don't remember at all at this point, because it's been that many years and life had just gotten away from me, I guess. Logo's been ready for like
at least 2 years, probably longer. But yeah, so that's how it started. My career and my life in general have just not been the most, I wouldn't say straightforward is a word that I would use for what my life has looked like. So I am the eldest of four in a Muslim Arab household, which is something that in itself is a definition of what your life kind of looks like. And I would say my family was unique in that it was my nuclear family that immigrated and my nuclear family that I grew up with, but we didn't have a large extended family around us. So our experience has been different, I would say, than others. In a sense, a little bit more sheltered, a little bit more careful, a little bit more conservative because there weren't a lot of people to lean on. There wasn't a big community. We have a huge community of friends and we've been in the same area since I was born. So we really are kind of the root of the Arab Muslim community. I can understand the hesitation that parents have when you're the first and there's nobody with a similar experience. I don't have a cousin from an uncle who lives next door whose daughter has gone through X, Y, and Z that my parents can lean on for that experience to comfort them. And what I mean by that is as little as what I was going to major in was a very complicated conversation. I was homeschooled for a big chunk of my education, but had a very active social life. I'm grateful to my parents for keeping that social component healthy and thriving. They were very social people. They were very involved in the community. I originally thought I wanted to be a teacher. I love teaching. I love educating in general. I liked seeing something that I learned and being able to pass it on at a young age. I always loved that. And I always loved to learn too. As a kid, I was always playing with everybody except those that were my age. I had friends that were older than me. I had friends that were younger than me. I could talk to, a grandma and I could talk to my mom's generation. And even growing up as a teenager, a lot of my best friends were actually in their 40s and not in a weird way, just in a way that was like, I can learn from this person. Even in my personal life, that was always what I gravitated towards. What can I learn? How can I better myself? And how can this experience, consciously or subconsciously, improve another aspect of my life or impact an aspect of my life? In middle school, I was taking a life science class and I was out of school for 4 months or so, in and out of the hospital with meningitis, pneumonia, misdiagnosed or mistreated, basically, and then had relapsed, went back in the hospital. So I gained an appreciation and understanding, I would say, on an inner level of hospital system, doctors, medicine in general. I was very observant, very quietly observing everything that was going on. And nobody in my family is medical at all. My mom's a caretaker, and she definitely taught me to be a caretaker. My mom is a sponge, and a lot of the doctors thought she was a physician when she was in the room with us because she would take any piece of information and try to learn and understand, and she would observe. And when I was growing up, when I was in high school, when I was going to college, if you wanted to be a mother or you wanted to be a wife or you wanted any of those things, you could not also be a physician. You could not also have a high demand job that sought a lot of you outside of the home. So teaching was always like, oh, that's great, be a teacher, which is ironic because being a teacher is probably one of the jobs that you take home the most from everything in the world. But whatever, the environment is suitable for an Arab Muslim girl. And so that was what I grew up with. When I had chosen, I want to be a teacher, that was always celebrated. When I said I wanted to become a physician, there was a little bit of a hesitation, right? And there was also a lot of, as supportive as my parents and everybody around me was in some aspects, there was equally, if not more so, the response of, well, are you sure you want to go through all that schooling to then just hang up your diploma on the wall? I remember hearing that from multiple people. And I said, why would I just hang it up on the wall? That doesn't make any sense. I'd be practicing. Well, what about when you have kids? Well, I'd continue to practice within reason, right? They're not mutually exclusive, was my mindset growing up. We could talk about all the hurdles through undergrad, grad school, all of those things. And I would probably be here for hours. Basically, I had a lot of bumps in the road that I'm so grateful for. I went to my local university, my local state school, got my undergraduate degree in biomedical sciences and psychology. During that time, I needed to beef up my resume, if you will. And so, to apply to med school, you need to prove that you want to do it, right? And so I started interning with a local physician who was starting her first clinical trials. And in that experience, I realized how little she knew and how little everybody involved knew about clinical research in general, about trials, collecting data, entering data, the time it took, the effort it took, what it looked like to analyze data, to write a manuscript, all of those things. So I'm very grateful for that experience and all its pros and cons. It opened my eyes to the fact that academia was that marriage between the two things that I loved most, which were teaching and medicine, because you could teach as you learn and you never stop learning. I get bored. And it's not that I get bored quickly. It's that when I have mastered a skill, when I am no longer learning in the room that I'm in, I feel like I need to get out of that room. I feel like I need to get out of a job when I am the only one teaching and not learning. And so I always need that fine balance. I love teaching, but I like to also be learning from my students and from my mentors. And so I transitioned to oncology research. At the time, my parents had been hesitant to explore the idea of me leaving town for med school. And for anybody who knows the med school system, applying to just one school is almost never going to guarantee you an acceptance. So I did. I applied to the one school locally and I didn't get in, which was to be expected that year. And I told myself I'll get my master's and I'll work a little bit in this research thing and we'll figure it out along the way. And so in that time, I loved everything I was learning. I started off working in phase one oncology, which is early, you know, early therapeutics, first in human sometimes, or first in this disease site, dose explorations. And I loved the unknown that came with that. In that, I discovered a specific subset of oncology that I loved even more, which was neuroendocrine cancer. There is this ability to really customize therapy to the individual patient. And there's this element of time that you're not necessarily blessed with other cancers. And I just loved everything I was doing. And so I felt like I was still learning and I just stayed. I stayed in the NET field. I grew in the NET field. I've published, gosh, a lot, and I'm very grateful for it. I had the privilege of an amazing mentor, amazing friend who really took me under his wing and really let me dictate a lot of dynamic in terms of mentor-mentee. And he gave me a lot of free rein where other mentors may not always do that. And so I'm really grateful for that experience. We make a really good team. You know, we developed a really nice patient care model. Our clinical trials were operated very differently than other dynamics within most institutions, because you don't always just have a single PI and a single coordinator working in tandem on an entire disease site, you know. And so for a very long time, we've almost been together for a decade now, that we have worked hand in hand on those patients. And so there's that continuity of care that's really nice and a model I'm really going to miss when I move on to the next thing. But that has been very eye-opening. And in that time, I've been traveling, presenting my work at conferences, traveling to Europe, to other parts of the US, getting to network with people that are in pharma, people that are on the clinic side, people that are on the CRO side, people that are on the engineering and AI and drug development, people with patient advocacy experience. I mean, there's so many realms within healthcare that we're not even aware of. I remember talking to my first manager when I started working in oncology, and I told her, I'm a little scared that I love this so much that I'm not going to want to pursue medicine in the way that I wanted to pursue it. And she told me, everybody goes through that. It's normal. And it's also normal to, after a few years or a few months, decide, no, I do kind of want that, but I want it in this way. And that's kind of what happened. I really tried very hard for the next 5 or 6 years, I would say, to not want to go to med school, to not want to become a physician, because it would have been easier, because I had a lot going on personally. I made a lot of changes in my life that really rocked a lot of corners in my life. Personally, professionally, personally in the sense that literally just 180'd a lot of things. And those are also conversations for another time. But the growth that I had in doing all of that impacted my career a lot, because it rocked that side of my life, but not in a negative way. It was learning how to balance being in shambles personally and then being completely put together and training, and the person responsible and the person managing these patients' care and training the next generation that was coming through. It really was a lesson and a test that, again, very grateful for the way that my life has turned out. But in that, I really realized that life does not look the way you plan it. Life will never look the way that you plan it to look, because we don't know what's coming next. You don't know when a person is going to be put into your life and how that is going to impact your life and the next step in your life. And so a friend and I have talked about how one of our friends who moved to the U.S. from Italy in 2013, I started and he left definitely in the same year, but we overlapped for a few months. We met years later. Him coming to the U.S., my not getting into med school, and him later sending a colleague to come and train here are all the reasons that I have now applied to Italy for med school. At the time, I never in a million years would have thought to leave the country for school. I also never thought there was going to be another option for me besides getting into med school at the financial, emotional, and physical costs that you have to pay to do that in the US. So it really taught me to appreciate every single person and every single second of every single day, because you never know what's coming. You don't know. You have absolutely no idea. As I got to meet all these people and went through my own journey, wanted and still want for everybody to come to know that there are so many options in life and there are so many tracks in life. And the person that you see that looks one, super put together, super accomplished, decorated, you know, veteran of 1,001 different awards and accomplishments and degrees and all of those things, that person has 100 stories behind how they got to where they got. They also have a lot of imposter syndrome. I can probably guarantee that. They also have a lot of failures that are not advertised. Perceived failures, right? Because we think that when something doesn't happen the way that we thought it was supposed to happen, that that is a failure. Definitely isn't. Not always. I think it's just a pivot. And recognizing that when things don't work out the way that you thought they were going to work out, the world's not going to end and you will still find a path forward. If there's something that you really, really, really want and it's meant for you, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. You just don't know how you're going to get it. You don't know when you're going to get it. You don't know how it's going to happen. But trusting that as long as you're putting your best foot forward every single day, everything is going to work out the way it's meant to work out. Also learning practically that healthcare, law, engineering, every single career out there is not a one size fits all. And I think we're very much taught that you go to school, you graduate with a degree, and then you work with that degree in a very stepwise fashion, and that you only have X number of job titles that are afforded to you. And I don't think that's true. I think that a huge chunk of the world's career paths are not things that you ever imagined existed. With technology and with the way the world is evolving in general, that's going to get even more and more complicated. And so I want people to hear that. I want people to know that. My one message to high school graduates, everybody, especially people, and I speak about healthcare because that's the field I'm in, but especially people in healthcare, is do not major in biomedical sciences. For the love of God, do not major in that major. I want that major to die, because I thought at the time, I had convinced myself when I went into school that I had no other interests, that I was not dynamic enough of a person to do anything but study medicine and science, because I didn't have any hobbies. Right? I wasn't a musician. I wasn't into math. I wasn't into, I don't know. But now looking back, I would have picked something that I wanted to learn. It is a blessing in the US that we have that undergraduate time, for example, to really major in whatever we want. Take those prereqs. There's only like four classes that you need two semesters of basically to graduate. And most of them are going to be either in your intro years that you can used to sub out for other classes, or they're going to be elective credits. It's fine. I would have majored in, I don't know, history, Spanish. I would have loved to have learned Spanish at the time. Literally anything that can help you grow as a person, help you expand a part of your mind that you're not going to expand in the days that you are seeing patients or in med school or whatever. That's a huge reason of why I'm doing this podcast is I want people who are stuck. I want people who are thriving. I want people everywhere to hear this and be able to relate to something and someone in what they're hearing. I want them to see that there are people who do so many different things and they are traditionally successful in the field that you're looking for, right? There are physicians on here. There are lawyers on here. There are engineers on here. There are photographers on here. There are artists. I am having conversations with people that really have done so many different things and thrive in 100 different careers. And I am so excited to get to just talk to people. I was buying a gift for a friend. And as I was having a conversation with the lady who owned the store, I was like, can I please talk to you more? Because you seem like an incredibly dynamic, I'm going to butcher this word to death, but that's the best word I have for it. You're such a multifaceted person. There are so many people with so many stories that make up this world. And I love hearing about it. And I hope that you will too. That's kind of the reason behind this. I have always been told that I'm a lot. Too much. I am loud. I laugh too loud. I love too hard. I give too much. That is true. All of it is true. I'm a lot. I've grown to love that aspect of myself. And I think there are other little personality quirks that we all have that others may see some way and you may have grown up seeing some way. And this is the opportunity to see them in another light. I think this podcast is a space for people who are in every aspect of their life. I hope it's entertaining. I hope it's fun to listen to. I hope you get to really know the people behind these careers and empathize with them and learn from them and walk away feeling inspired, walk away feeling like you can do more, you can do less, you can do just enough to get through your day. And the world's going to keep spinning. You're going to keep succeeding and killing it. And yeah, there is a lot of negativity. There's a lot of space taken up in the world right now with a lot of things that are not conducive to growing as human beings. And I hope that this little pocket of my pocket of peace, if you will, and my pocket of sanity, the things that make me happy, will bring you joy too. And I think that we should take up space. We all do take up space in the world, and that's a beautiful thing. But let's put the good out there. Let's put a little bit of what inspires us, helps us grow, helps us keep pushing out to the universe so that, you know, if you can make one person's day better, make one person smile, make one person reflect on what you've done and teach them a new skill, then you've done your part in making the world a better place that day. I think the world is still spinning, which means the good still outweighs the bad in this world. I just would like to see that highlighted a little more and give all the humans all the inspiration to keep doing you, keep being you. And for everybody listening, I hope you enjoy every single second of this. And if you don't, I want to hear about it nicely. Not nicely, constructive. Just tell me how you feel, but constructively. If you walked away for even a second entertained, share it. If you didn't, tell me why. If there are people that you think the world would love to hear from and learn from, please send them my way. Please tell me if you are that person. In terms of the logo and the coloring and all of that, the logo was a labor of love. I think the graphic designer actually hates me. The concept is that I love, absolutely love sunsets. And it's the one thing that gives me joy no matter what is going on in my life. It doesn't matter. I grew up driving an hour to and from each way to school and to work. And the sun rises and the sunsets were my favorite thing. They're what got me through all that traffic and that torturous drive. I feel claustrophobic when I'm not in a location that has water surrounding. I'm grateful to have grown up in Florida, you know, on the water. I am biased and I think that Florida has the nicest sunsets. And I say that over West Coast as well. I say that over Europe as well. I've traveled a lot in the last 5 years. I have really, really tried to give every other city, especially every other city with an ocean or a sea, a chance to show me that they have prettier sunsets. And I think Florida wins. California 100% wins on sunrises. I'll give you that one. The sunsets, they're stunning. And I have a whole album. You'll see them. You'll see photos here and there pop up. But that is the concept behind the coloring of the logo. That's what gives me inspiration. That's what keeps me going. And I hope that that's like the light at the end of your day, every day. Until next time, I guess, or until whenever. I hope you love this. I cannot believe I forgot my mic on the day that I was going to film this. Like, I cannot believe it. I have been lugging that thing around, just FYI, for weeks now. Weeks. I kid you not. I've been lugging it around in order to record this thing. Forgot it today. And I could have just not filmed this today and waited until I have my mic, but we're just going to go old school. And I love me a trusty little string. I love them. So I do have a professional setup. You will see that. I am not an amateur. I am an amateur, but I'm not, like, this is not what we're working with. The audio will be better in future clipsies. But yeah, so see you soon.
How do you do this? How do you navigate relationships, your kids, your career, your health, your own hobbies, your own goals, ambitions, and everyone struggles. No one has it figured out, right?
So it just so happened. I mean, you were game and I was game. And since I was going to New York, I went to the box office and I said, hey, I would like 2 tickets for this day. And they happened to have these like really amazing seats. And we did it. We did a 1 day trip that was just like really amazing and memorable.
And I think now I recognize that that's a very common feeling, and that women and underrepresented minorities or others who are minoritized are really made to feel that way. But it was a really terrible feeling, and I was afraid to talk about it.
He quit one day on the spot, like no 2 weeks, no nothing. He just said, I think I'm done working here. And people occasionally tell me that, and I say, okay, when is it that you are leaving? He's like, right now. I'm leaving right now.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Love that.
I have been in trouble since I was in first grade for for blurting things out, and you know, then I had to go play Uno with the psychologist.
Oh God.